Hebrews chapter 12, while you're waiting on that. While he pulls that up, I got a text this weekend while I was out there. One of our followers, and I don't have permission to say names or anything like that. If I did, I would. But she is dying. And she asked me to, her and her husband got talking about it, asked me to be the preacher at her funeral and up in Ohio. And I told them if I could get away, I would. And so just pray for this family. If she gives me permission to say something, I will. But just pray for them, all right?
It's for a lady on the Bethel page. Her brother has cancer and there's just things going on.
Okay. So a fellow that's got cancer, remember to pray for Joe Poli, Wayne. Oh.
She's not back to work Monday. She's the provider of their home. They're in a replacement.
Oh, no. Man, that don't sound right. Anyway, yeah, we'll pray for that. Yes, Rose. Oh, wow. Okay. Good to see her here last Sunday, so pray for her. Yes, Kay?
Well, my niece, who's been the baby, discovered she was able to walk in and bloody nose and high blood pressure. So they're following her very closely. They're not told her husband. They're telling her.
Okay. Okay. Pray for Lisa. She had an MRI done of her shoulder. And she's going to see the doctor Friday, but she's probably going to have that cut on. And she's just getting where it's just hard to use her arm. And that's her hitting her husband arm. So we want to get that back in shape. So just pray for her. Roy?
Bonnie.
Bonnie Jean, what have you done with her? Yeah. It's in my bones. Yeah. Anybody else tonight? You're in the house of prayer. Amen. You're in the house of prayer. Let's pray and let's tell God thank you for all He's done. Pray for one another here tonight. Pray for folks online. You folks online, pray for us here. Pray for me. Been trying not to make people mad. Found out it doesn't take much. And so I've recorded a video today. It's going to hit some people pretty hard. But it's all Bible, and so just pray that God will bless us and God will use it for His glory and His honor. I have a video in my mind of making, and I just can't get away from it, and it's going to be rough for some people. Not most anybody here, but it's just a burden on my heart, and I think I'm fighting doing it. This is what I think I'm doing. I just want to make sure it's of the Lord. If the Lord builds the house, then it's fine. So just pray about that with me, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless and honor His Word, all right? Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear God, for Jesus. I thank You, Lord, Father, that, Lord, even this weekend, Lord, it's good because You said where two or more gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And, Lord, I've been in places, Lord, and I see pictures from around the world, God, and they don't have nice churches like this. They meet out, Lord, that church we were at in Kitali, Lord, they just met out in this lady's front yard. And Lord, they had them a church service, God. And Lord, just bless churches like that. Lord, just be in the midst of them. And Lord, I just thank You, dear God, for where I was this weekend. I thank You, Lord, for watching over my family and my church. And Lord, I thank You, dear God, for this church. And Lord, just the blessing of knowing, God, that Lord, that You were here with them, and Lord, that what You've done here, Lord, is I can't thank You enough. And Lord, it was just a blessing to me. And Lord, I just pray, God, that You'd be with us tonight as we study Your Word. And Lord, every heart here tonight's got something on their mind. Folks are sick and hurting, and Lord, we just ask God, Lord, that You would just help them and bless them. Lord, be with this lady that contacted me over the weekend. Lord, Father, I love her in the Lord, and I thank You, dear God, for the good conversations we've had on the phone. I pray, dear God, Lord, that You'd just be with her now and visit with her and give her peace in her heart. Bless her husband. Bless her family, Lord. And Lord, give her, Lord, through everything that's happening, Lord, Lord, I know her testimony. Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, that that testimony would just ring in the hearts of, Lord, people, Lord, that, Lord, have said things against her. I pray, God, Lord, you just bless her and use her for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, the Bible even teaches, Lord, that even after we die, we still have a voice. And I just pray, God, Lord, that you would bless. Father, Lord, be with Brother Joe tonight. And Lord, just give him your grace and your help and your encouragement, Father. Be with all of our older folk. Lord, they're just the days, Lord, are getting hard on them. And Lord, it's just hard to see that. And I pray, God, that, Lord, would you please help them. Lord, just visit with these people here tonight. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that they would have their faith and their trust anchored in the solid rock. Because, Lord, you're going to do some things in this world, and I can see it coming. I don't know exactly what, but, Lord, I see it coming. And, Lord, there's going to be some people that ain't going to make it. And I pray, God, Lord, that nobody in this church, Lord, would be of that group. So, Lord, just help us and help us, dear God, to stick to the Word of God tonight. Pray that you'd bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. I'm of the idea and the impression, and I'm going to show you why I believe what I believe from Scripture. I'm of the idea and the impression that we're nearing a time in the world. I can see the world being set up for the fall. Okay? And the Bible talks about that. There should come a falling away first. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And I think in all the political realms, I think I see it there in the religious deals, not just in all the, like the Islam and Buddhism, but I can see it in the churches. I can see a setup for a fall. I can see it coming in, like I say, politics and religion. I can see it coming in finances, business. You know, it's interesting that the Bible, God tied the mark of the beast with the ability to buy or sell. And I'm telling you that everything that's going on right now in the financial and computer world is drawing in that direction right there. I mean, I see it coming. And it's being set up right now. But I have this idea that, and like I say, I can see things in the Bible, that something is going to happen in this world, a happening, an event, or some sort of quote-unquote revelation, that for most people in this world, they're going to believe something that is absolutely not true. Okay? And it's going to shake their faith. Okay? You remember when the Da Vinci Code came out? Da Vinci Code, I saw the movie, I read the book before I saw the movie, and I got the gist of it. I mean, I get it. And it was all about this theory that Jesus wasn't actually who all us Christians make him out to be, that he was a good guy. And he married a wife and had a daughter, and that there's a bloodline that exists, the bloodline of literally of Jesus Christ. And it's some sort of divine, special, sacred, holy bloodline that exists. And you read, as you get to kind of reading this book and the gist of it, it kind of gives you the idea that there's like this revelation waiting in the wings that if the world found out about it, it would just shake the foundations of Christianity. And I would agree to the extent that it would shake the foundations of non-biblical Christianity. Okay? And it will. You know, hear him talk about what if flying saucers landed on the earth and said, hey, you know, we did the whole Jesus thing. Or, you know, just things like that. What if something like that came out? And you say, well, that's all utter nonsense. I don't know. I see a lot of things in this Bible that I'm seeing around us right now. And I'm telling you, the world is being set up for a fall. And there's going to be a shaking going on. And the question I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask anybody watching us tonight, is how's your faith? And I don't mean, when I use the word faith, I don't mean, well, I'm of the Christian faith. I'm not asking about your religion. I'm asking about where your trust is, because that's what faith is. Do you trust The Word of God, is that the anchor of your life? Is it the foundation of your life? Let me show you what I mean. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. I mentioned this last week. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. By the way, appreciate everybody praying for me last week. And boy, it was just a real blessing. See that refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, verse 26, I want you to get a hold of this. Because if you go back to Mount Sinai, go back to Exodus 19, what you'll see is you'll see God speaking and God coming down on that mountain. And there was a violent, violent earthquake. And so he's referencing that. And he says in verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So what he's, and this is a prophecy. God shook the earth, Exodus 19, when he appeared on Mount Sinai and gave the law to the Israelites. He shook the earth. What he's saying now, in the latter days, I'm going to shake. My voice is going to shake everything once again. But it's not just going to shake the earth. I'm going to shake the heavens as well. And there's a reason for that. We'll get into that. And so, he said, but also heaven. Verse 27, and this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Have you ever put flour through a sift? What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of it? In case you've got nuggets in there or something like that, you're separating those things out. The flour falls through, but whatever there is, when they pan for gold, what are they doing? They're sifting and they're shaking that pan. Because that gold, everything else is going to be scattered out, and that gold, which is heavier than all the silt and sand and debris and everything like that, is heavier than that, it's going to settle to the bottom. That's what remains. So you get the idea here. God, I am convinced that if we are living in the time where Christ is going to make His appearing in the clouds, I'm looking forward to it. Can I get an amen out of God's people? I'm looking forward to it. I'm convinced by the Word of God that before that happens, God's going to shake some things so that the things that can be shaken are shaken away so He can reveal those things that cannot be shaken. Those things that remain. Does that make sense to everybody? So let's read it again. Verse 27. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. There's your connection right there. You and I are going to receive a kingdom that cannot be removed. I'm going to ask you a question. Who in here can realistically see the decline and the doing away of the United States of America? Amen. Buddy, it's coming. I don't know when. I don't know what's going to... I know the things are happening right now. And if you don't get me started on politics today, I'm put out. Okay? Because I see some things going on there that just don't jive with the Scriptures. And I see a setup coming. But we can clearly see that the days that lie ahead for this country are not going to be like those old days that you and I grew up in or we heard our grandfathers talk about. We don't have a good future in this country, and I think we can realistically see the demise of this country. You know why? Foundation's been destroyed. You know what the foundation of this country was? Word of God. It's been destroyed. The foundation be destroyed, the house, the building cannot stand. And so that's exactly what's happened. And so, but we, and so I'm sitting out in America, Jared, this weekend. I'm looking at my part of America, and I love it. I love the woods. I love the fact that I can go out. I mean, when we left Kitale, Kenya, or Orongo, Kenya, Matthew had his buck hunting t-shirt on as we left. And the pastor out there in Kenya was asking me, what is that? I said, every year in November, We go out in the woods and we shoot and kill deer. Oh, you do? I said, yeah, the government gives us a license. We go out and I said, in the state of Missouri right now, you can kill all the doe you want to. Oh, you have a good government. And I went, yeah, I wouldn't say that. But I'll tell you what, as far as that's concerned, we got it good. They can't even cut down a tree out there in Kenya. They can't cut a tree down and use it for lumber. They cannot do it. It's against the law. So in our little corner of America, I like what I have. I like where I was sitting this weekend. I like it. Okay? But I realize that's going to be taken away. And if all I have is America, my citizenship, but what I think are my rights, if that's all I have, I might as well die and get it over with. But that's not all that I am. I'm an American second. But I'm a child of God first. And I have a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Cannot be shaken. It cannot be brought down. You believe the Word of God tonight, say amen. If that's who you really are, then that cannot be destroyed, cannot be taken. So he said, which may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. See, that kingdom's all about grace. Somebody say amen. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What was that verse we sang tonight? That song we sang, How Firm a Foundation? There was a whole verse in there about the fire coming. The fire coming. That's what I talked about today in the Watchman broadcast. I believe there's a fire coming. And I'm going to give you a little piece of it. Why is it that Paul told us we had to take on the whole armor of God? You remember the helmet of salvation, loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of gospel and peace. What else are we supposed to have? We're supposed to have the sword, which is the Word of God. What else? A shield of what? Why? The shield of faith is what quenches fiery darts of Satan. You know what those are? Bible's not true. Jesus is not real. You can't withstand me. I'm going to destroy you and your family. I'm going to tear your church down. Okay? That's the fiery darts that He sends to us. And if you have a shield that's got holes in it, you're going to burn. If your faith and trust in this book is not sufficient to defend yourself against what the enemy is going to throw. Have you ever had the devil on you telling you, the Bible's not right, it's not real, Christianity, that's all just a joke, just go out and do it. Have you ever had that? You ain't lived until you have. I have. I was able to defend myself against the fiery darts of my enemy. Not with my own stamina, not with my own doing, not with my ninja skills. I went. Devil. Word of God says no. Amen? What did Jesus have in the wilderness after 40 days? What did He have? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And it worked. So I ask you tonight, how's your faith in this book? How's your trust in the Word of God? Do you trust it? Or have you bought into the lies that a lot of the scholars are telling everybody? Now, act like the Bible is the Word of God, but really we know that it's got errors and mistakes and manuscripts have been lost and we don't really have. Listen, if you've got a shield that's full of holes, what good is it? And that's what I talked about today, and it's going to make some people mad. But anyway, let me just kind of go through some scriptures to kind of know how I do about how the Bible talks about things that are shaken. All right. While I do that, take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to end up there. Let me just kind of run down some scriptures here. Psalm 18, verse 4. The Bible says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. And I want to tell you something. God's wrath is going to shake this world. He's going to say, I'm sick of it. I've had it. I was reading on Drudge Report earlier today, Planned Parenthood built an abortion center right next to an adoption facility. Just to be in their face about it. That's sickening. Wrath of God is going to come down on the murderers for spilling innocent blood. Can I get an amen out of you? Okay, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. And see, as the world grows more evil, they're going to compass us about. There was a high school or college or something like that, teacher got fired from school. He sued, lost the case, because he displayed in his classroom a picture, I think, of Uncle Sam praying or something like that. And he had a Bible on his desk, and he believed in creation, and they fired him for that reason. North Korea rounded up 80 people for the crime. Some of them were prostitutes and this, that, and the other, but some of them for the crime of owning a Bible. Rounded them up, took them in the cities where they were to the stadiums, compelled thousands of people at, you know, the government tells you what to do in North Korea. Thousands of people showed up to these stadiums and they executed these people down for owning a Bible in North Korea. You know what that was? Don't think about it. Okay? God's wrath is going to come down on that man and that government and those people for doing that stuff. You believe that? Say amen. Okay? Wickedness is compassing about all around us. We're going to be surrounded with iniquity, with floods of ungodliness and everything else. And it's during those times that we cry out unto the Lord. And you know what God's going to do? God says, get ready, hold on, because I'm fixing to shake everything loose. And that's what He's going to do. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols He shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. He's going to do it. It's going to be bad. And I literally believe the script. I believe that there is going to be a massive earthquake. Not just in San Francisco, although they need another one. Not just in wherever. But the Bible actually says that at that day, the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. So you can imagine the earth on an axis, a 23-degree tilt. And God's going to shake this earth so bad that the axis of the earth is going to reel to and fro like that. Imagine what that's going to do. Okay? And if you don't believe the Bible, you're sunk. That's what He said. He's going to rise to shake terribly the earth. And they shall, let's see here, in verse 20, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? And then Revelation, this actually in Isaiah chapter 2 matches with Revelation chapter 6. Let me read that to you. Verse 12. This is the opening of the seals. And I beheld when He opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. A great one, a massive one. I believe probably as such as the world has never seen before. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now watch this, because God said, we saw it in Hebrews, we're going to see it again, that when He shakes it this time, He's not just going to shake the earth. You know what He's going to do? He's going to shake heaven too. Why is He going to shake heaven? Because there are evil angels. That's how the Bible terms them. There are evil angels right now. Lucifer's one of them, Satan. who has access to the throne of God. They are in the heavenly realm right now. You know what God's going to do? He's going to shake the heavens, and guess what? Let's read it. Look at verse 13. At Revelation 6. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. By the way, what they hear on the day of Pentecost? A mighty wind. It's prophecy, isn't it? Okay? It's a foretelling of things that are going to happen. And what God's going to do is God's going to shake the earth, and He's going to shake the heavens. And just like when you go out and you shake a tree and that fruit falls out of it, okay? That's what would... I think Caleb tried that when we were picking peaches. He saw some up there he couldn't reach, so he was trying to shake them out of there. Okay, you shake them hard enough, they'll fall. And God gives us that picture because what He's going to do, He equates, for some reason, I haven't figured it out yet, but He equates these stars, these angels, as untimely figs, and they're in heaven, and what He's going to do is He's going to shake the heavens. And the Bible says, Revelation 12, you'll see it in other places, that a third of the stars are going to fall. Where? He's going to cast them down to the earth. See, God is going to clean house. You know what 1 Peter 4 tells us, 4:17? For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So you know what I believe is going to happen? Number one, God's going to clean out heaven. Because there's some evil angels up there that God has, He has used them. You can see that clearly in the Bible, like in the story of Ahab. When God wanted to destroy Ahab, He asked, who will go and be a lying spirit? And this angel said, I'll do it. God said, how are you going to do it? Wherewith? And he said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the prophets unto Ahab. And God said, go do it. So God compels them and they do His will, they do His bidding, but they are evil angels. And what God's going to do is He is going to clean house in heaven. Because judgment begins at the house of God. Then, I believe He's going to clean house down here in His house down here. And don't want to say anything bad against my wife, but do you think the house of God needs to be cleaned? She does the cleaning. Okay, I think she does a good job, but overall, do you think the house of God needs to be clean? So remember when Jesus said that thing about before we pull the mote out of someone else's eye, we remove the beam out of ours? He said do it before. And I think scripturally that before God turns His hand to the world, I think He's going to put His hand to the church. Okay? I think He is. I think that's what the Scriptures are trying to tell us. And I believe that there's going to be a shaking. And so the question that I've been asking tonight is, how solid is your faith? How solid is your trust in what God said? Because I can tell you, there are some doctrines out there in churches all over the world, one this and one that, that are unbiblical. They're not based and founded in the Scriptures. And what's going to happen is that something's going to happen that these people, it's going to shake their faith. Let me give you an example of this. You probably don't remember. Y'all know Joyce Myers, okay? The guy who used to do her radio voiceovers, okay, was a friend of mine. He used to do a children's ministry, real good, real good. And I sat down lunch with him. This has been several years ago. He didn't work for him anymore. He hadn't worked for years, and there's a reason why. He sat down with me and he said, Mike, he said, I am pretty serious. He said, I'm going to come out of the whole charismatic movement deal. And he was working for Joyce Myers, was her radio voice guy. And I just sat back. And inwardly, I'm grinning ear to ear. But he said, I tell you, he said, it's not, he said, it doesn't work. He said, it's a put on. And he said, I know a guy, he used to go up here to this church here on Highway 30 where she came out of. And he said, there was a friend of mine up there. He said, as far as doing in the church, he said he did everything. He did everything he was told to do. He had a business, so he had a lot of money, and he gave large sums to the church. And we had visiting people in, you know, like Rodney Howard Brown. He gave him large sums of money, you know, did everything in the world. Did everything he was told to do, because he was told that if you do this and perform this and say this the right way and have enough faith, that God bless you, make you rich, and make you healthy and everything like that. And he said he bought it hook, line, and sinker. And boy, he did. He did everything. And then he attributed his wealth and his health to what he was doing. And he said, then he came down sick. And he said he couldn't work. He couldn't run his business anymore. So his business was going downhill. Couldn't afford the payments on the equipment. Couldn't afford the payments on the house. He's fixing to lose his house. His wife said, enough of this. And she took off with the kids. So in a year's time, he lost his health. He lost all of his money, lost his house, and lost his family. And so he goes to Rick Shelton, who was the pastor up there then. Remember him? And you know why he's not the pastor there anymore? He got sick. He got sick and couldn't get over it. But anyway, he goes to this pastor and says, Pastor, he said, I don't understand. He said, I've done everything you said to do. He said, I did this and I've got the faith and I've sent all this and doing all this stuff. He said, I don't understand why this is happening. And the pastor said, well, obviously there's something that you're doing that's not pleasing God. In other words, there was always one more thing that he had to add to it. One more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And he said, I'm out. You know what happened? That man's ideology about God and the gospel and God's grace and God's blessing on him, his ideologies and his doctrines was not based on the Word of God. It was based on Rick Shelton and Joyce Myers and all those clowns that they had in that church, filling him full of that fluff that when God began to shake that man's life, everything that he had was shaken loose and gone. And they had no answers for him. All they could say was, obviously, you're not doing enough for God. That's all they had for him. That sickens me. And so this man, who was Joyce's radio guy, said, I'm done with it. It's a joke. It doesn't work. And I don't know where he's at now. We don't know what he's doing. But I think he made the right decision. You're either going to get your ideas from the Bible, or you know what God's going to do? He's going to shake them. And the only thing that's going to be left is what's clutched on to every word of God in this book. Okay? And I'm just telling you, people, make sure your marriage, make sure your personal life, make sure your work life, make sure your family life, make sure everything about your life is hooked on to the Word of God. Because when God gets ready to shake, He'll shake it so hard that anything that's not anchored in Him is gone. That's what He'll do. I had you turn this place. Let me get there in a minute, all right? Isaiah 13:13, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth also, and the earth shall remove out of her place. So here's the earth, and it's in a place in the universe. God actually said that He's going to remove the earth out of her place. I don't know exactly astronomically what He's going to do. I just know that God is powerful enough to move an entire planet just by saying it. I will remove the earth out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of His fierce anger. Ezekiel 26:15, thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus. You know who Tyrus is? The Bible calls him the prince of Tyrus, and he's a picture of the devil because he was in the Eden. He was in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God, and he was an anointed cherub. He said, shall not the isles shake at the sound of thy fall? Let me ask you a question. Is Lucifer going to fall? You know what God's going to do? He said, the isle shall shake at the sound of thy fall when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee. You know what God's going to do? He's going to shake him. And because Lucifer is not attached to the Word of God, he's going to be cast out of heaven when God shakes it. Okay? Ezekiel 31:16, I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell. Ezekiel 37:7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Oh, watch this. I like this. I like this. You know what Ezekiel 37 is? Them bones, them dry bones. That's what Ezekiel 37 is. Ezekiel 37 is the teaching that God is going to take the people of Israel from the 12 tribes, literally the 12 tribes, and he's going to make them a nation once again. Okay? Do you know when it's going to happen? When God shakes the earth. In fact, I'll just read it to you just for time's sake. Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. You imagine these bones all out scattered all over the place, and all of a sudden the ground starts shaking. And you've seen like when stuff shakes and you know stuff move around on the ground, you can just imagine that here's the earth shaking. And what it's doing is while the earth is shaking, these bones are coming together and locking in place. And then the sinews are joining the bones together. The knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Okay? And then flesh comes over it. And then you know the rest of the story. He prophesies to the four winds, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the gospel. And breath comes into this dead body. That God brought the bones back together by what? By the shaking. Okay? Let me throw something out to you. Okay? Now, I am for God's people Israel. 100%. Okay? You don't curse God's people. And I don't care how rotten they are. You don't curse God's people. God loves them. Okay? I used to think that the nation of Israel as it exists right now over there in Israel, 1947, I used to think that was the fulfillment of prophecy. I'm not so sure. I'm not saying it's not going to... I believe it absolutely is going to happen. Okay? But I think that it's going to happen when God shakes the earth. Does that make sense to you? I think the Bible's teaching in Ezekiel 37 here that it hasn't... Not in God's way, it hasn't happened yet. I think man is trying to build something that God says, I'm the one that's going to build it. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? I'm not saying this is gospel. I'm just throwing it out there, all right? Anyway, let me go to, just for time's sake, let me read in Haggai, which is, I think, where he was quoting from. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth. So that's what Paul was quoting here in Hebrews. And he said, the earth, the sea, and the dry land, four things. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. You know who that is? It's Christ. He's the desire of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. And without really going a lot into it, I believe that God himself is going to build his house in the latter days. I don't believe that any earthly organization builds a temple in Jerusalem or anywhere else for that matter. The Mormons say it's going to be in St. Joseph or Independence, Missouri. Is it Independence? They say that Independence, Missouri is Jerusalem, and then when Christ comes back, he goes to Independence, Missouri. I guess he gets a tax break or something there. I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, that's what they say. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that any earthly hands build the house of God, because God does not dwell in temples made with hands. The Bible says that Christ pitches his own tabernacle. He builds his own house. And that's what I believe. And he said, the glory of this latter house, if you go back and read about the glory of Solomon's temple, but Solomon's temple was destroyed. So in Haggai, they were rebuilding it, or that the promise of rebuilding that house occurred, and they started working on it, and God promised that the glory of the latter house would be greater than the first. The problem is, when they built that second temple, there was no Ark of the Covenant, there was no table of showbread, there was no menorah. Most of the furniture had been gone, had been taken away. And there, when you read about Solomon's temple and the glory of God coming in that place, you don't see that with the second temple. What did God mean? The house that's to come. The ladder. See, the word ladder, that means that day. Okay, is when that comes. And he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark and the moon shall not give her light. and the stars shall fall from heaven. That's what we read in Revelation 6. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And right now, see, watch this. Right now, the devil is standing right next to God saying, let me tell you what Jim Carmichael does. Let me tell you about what Wayne Shirk does. Let me tell you what Jared's sins are. Let me tell you what... And he's blabbing his mouth. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he's blabbing his mouth constantly about everything that you've done. Hoping so that God will curse you and you'll die. But here is our advocate with the Father, our defense lawyer, Jesus Christ the righteous, who says, what sins are you talking about? And they open the book, and there's nothing but blood on the pages because all the sins have been blotted out. You know what God's going to do? And there will be no more accuser of the brethren standing before God. Woo! Amen, preacher. That's good. I'll get a little excitement around here. Listen to this. Luke chapter 6. The wise men built his house upon the rock. He said, he is like a man. Who is like a man? He that heareth my words and doeth them. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Not rock music. And when the flood arose, remember the floods of ungodliness that we read about in Psalms earlier? When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. Likewise, what happens with the foolish man's house? He built his house upon the sand, and the floods came and shook that house and destroyed it. And I'm telling you, there's going to come a time. And I believe God does it at intervals in people's lives. I've seen Him do it in my life. I've seen where God will get a hold of me like my mama used to. Still would like to every now and then. And shake me. What's wrong with you? Where did you learn words like that? I wanted to say you, but that would have been a bad whipping. Okay, so it was always the kid down the street. But my mom would shake me. What's wrong with you? Okay, she's trying to get my attention, trying to get a hold of me. And there have been times in my life, Steve, when God's got a hold of me. Shook me till I rattled. You know what God was doing? He was shaking off all the stupid stuff. Amen? And He was just showing me, Mike, this is what remains. This is what I put in there. This is what's good. Things that I used to believe, I don't believe anymore. You know why? God shook them. And I believe this book. I believe it's right. Okay? And if you're His son, if you're God's child, every now and then God will get a hold of you and He'll shake you. And He'll put it to you. And you know what's coming off of you? All that stuff you don't need anyway. All that junk, all that nonsense from the world. He'll just shake it and it's gone. And God says, see, you're a lot better off now, aren't you? But I'm telling you what He's going to do. He's going to come and God's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the earth. And if your foundation and your anchor is not hinged to every word in this book, let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, I've covered this section so many times, I just about quote it to you. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Here we are. I need to teach everybody that song, how to know the books of the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe He's coming? And by our gathering together unto Him, do you believe He's going to gather us? Amen. He gathered us tonight. Amen. Did a good job of it. Okay. And anyway, so He's going to appear. He's going to come and He's going to gather His people. And then he says, now watch this in verse 2, that you be not soon what? Shaken in mind. What does that mean, Linda? It means that if your mind is not established in this book, you'll be shaken. There is going to, he says in verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and didn't perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. I think that there is some sort of very big lie going to be shown to the world. Okay? I don't know what it is. I've asked God, God, if you want to show it to me, fine. If not, I'll wait. But I think a very big lie, something is going to be revealed that's been hidden from the world. That much I know. And what it's going to do, it's going to shake the entire foundations of all the political realms, all the religious realms, all of the financial realms. When you hear them talk about the New Age and a paradigm shift, it's a shift in man's consciousness, a shift in man's way of thinking. It is going to alter the entire world just like that, except one small group of people. They're the ones whose foundation is on a rock, and they will not be shaken in mind. The world is going to fall for and believe the lie. Those who have established their mind, their thinking, their whole life upon every word of God, they're going to say, that's a lie. That is not whatever they say that is. I know from this book that's a lie. You see how the shield of faith now comes in handy? See how that works? Fiery darts get hurled because the devil wants to try to come in and try to teach you something that's not true. Give me like 30 seconds. I'm going to run to my office and get something came in the mail. 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 25, 24, 23. Where is it? Ah, here it is. Sit down, Jimmy. Oh, there it is. Thought I lost the hook to my microphone. I got this in the mail. Hang on, I'll just do it like this. I'll fix it later. I got this in the mail. It's a card. And the post office apologized for tearing it up, and I'm going to tell the post office to tear more of them up. It was sent to me specifically, Pastor Mike, from somebody who won't identify themselves. They're a coward. Hang on. You know what? I'm glad I didn't have to drag a deer out of the woods. Amen? The card says, fear. What is the one Bible verse that should strike more fear to the soul of a preacher or priest than any other? The answer is Matthew 5:19. Listen to what the card says. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least Torah instructions and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's not what the Bible says. This was sent by one of these messianic Hebrew roots cultists who are trying to convince everybody that you must go back and live exactly the way the law told the Jews to live or you're not going to heaven. And so, how did they get their doctrine? They didn't read it from the Bible that you've got. They had to change the Bible to make you think that's what God said. You see how it works? This is a fiery dart. And if you have it in your mind that the Bible that you've got in your lap can be altered by someone who really knows the languages, like Greek and Hebrew, better than you, where's your faith? It will not be able to defend against this dart. So then he gives another one down here. He said, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my Torah instructions. It's not what the Bible says. And then he says, Deuteronomy 6, the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay, the Jews call that the Shema, because the word Shema means hear. They put on here that the word Shema means hear and do. So in their mindset, if you don't perform all of the law that God gave, you're going to die and go to hell. Guess what? They're right. The problem is our salvation is not based upon doing the law. It's based upon believing what God said is true. This is a fiery dart. And if your shield is not faith in the inerrant, infallible, incorruptible Word of God, you'll burn. Okay? The post office did. They put on their damaged in the process. Please accept our apology. No, that's all right. Because I'm going to do the same thing to it anyway. Worse. But you can stand to your feet. I'm just telling you, people, a lie is going to be told. A bad one. And if your faith is not grounded in this book, you're going to fall for it. You're going to believe the lie. And if you live through it, you're going to go get a mark in your right hand or your forehead. Okay? Cult leaders try to get you to follow the leader. Me and all the other good preachers out there are going to try to get you to follow the book. Follow the book, people. Okay? That's your shield. That is your shield. I won't be around to defend everybody off of you all the time. This Bible will be around you forever. Use it. Amen?